Today, Shir's Masechta Gittin Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalar Mabeis, six lines from the bottom. The subject that we've been discussing in our Shiurim has been the fulfillment of stipulations in the Get. And what our Gemara begins to discuss in today's Shir is if in the Sina Bal Karcha, if somebody gave something, fulfilled the stipulation, but it wasn't done with the expressed acceptance of the person who's supposed to receive what he's supposed to receive, is that halachically considered a valid presentation in the Sina, a valid payment of what he was supposed to pay? The Tarak Dosha speaks about homes in Batei Arichayma, homes that are in cities that have a wall from the time of Yeshua Benun. And the Torah tells us that if somebody sells a home in such a city, he's allowed to redeem that home within the first year. And if he doesn't redeem it within the first year, it becomes the buyer's forever. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah, Masech, the Erechin, the Aflaman Aleph of Mabez teaches us, Brishoinam. Originally, what would happen was, the people who would redeem the house many times would wait for the last day of the 12 months to do this redemption. And what would happen was that a lot of people, some of the people who knew that, the buyer who knew it and wanted to hold on to the home, what he would do was that day he would make himself unavailable. Hayanitman, he would make himself available on that day. So like that, the person who owes him, who wants to buy back his property and now has the money, would not be able to pay so, and therefore it would remain the property of the buyers. Kedei Shei Cholot Lo, in order that he should be able to hold on to that home. Hiskin Hillel Zakid, so because Hillel Zakid saw what was happening, what he made up was that the seller could just throw his money into the certain room that was designated for that purpose, and then just break down the door of the nechnas and be able to walk in. And whenever the buyer wants to take it, take that money, so Tosis says, from here we see that Yovel still was in effect in the time of Beis Sheni, because Hillel was the Nasi in the time of Beis Sheni, and the whole halacha of Batei Arichayma is only applicable when there's Yovel. So we see it must be that there was still Yovel in the time of Beis Yisrael. So, which opens up a question, because the halach is that Yovel is only applicable when most of Klai Yisrael, all of Klai Yisrael, and that's Yisrael, which wasn't the case of Beis Sheni. So from here we see that if the Beis HaMikdash is standing, then Yovel is applicable even if not all of Klai Yisrael is in that Yisrael. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran says that the Yovel that was in effect at that time was only Yovel Midi Rabbanim. There's a very interesting opinion quoted from the Beis Yosef in the name of an Arishan. The name of the Arishan is Daguda. The way Daguda discusses it is if somebody misses Shacharis, he could make up by davening two minchas. But that halacha is only if he missed Shacharis ba'oinus. It was something beyond his control. So the halacha that's discussed is somebody got up and in the morning, and he could have davened Shacharis when he got up, but he decided to daven Shacharis later. And then, when he decided to daven Shacharis later, then an oinus came up, and he couldn't daven Shacharis. Is he considered an oinus because it was something beyond his control that prevented him from davening Shacharis, or is it not? Because if he would have davened right away when he got up, he wouldn't have had this problem. This is called oinus b'yoy makrin. Did you wait for the last minute and then you become an oinus are you considered an einus or not? So, from our Gemara, it seems there's a raya that an einus b'yom achron is considered einus, because what was the case that our Gemara refers to? That somebody waited till the last day, and he waited till the last day to buy back his house, and now something came up that the buyer is hiding. Why did you wait for the last day? So some say from our Gemara you see that even if you waited for the last moment, not like the good up, then you're still considered an oinus. But there are many achroidim, the tzois, and others say from here it's not a raya to that concept. Because davening, somebody says you have to daven as soon as possible. For example, we know that halacha is that one's not allowed to begin certain activities when the time of tefillah comes, even a half an hour before the time of tefillah comes. So since we see it as a point to daven as early as possible, and you delay davening, therefore we can't necessarily call you an oinus. There is no halacha that you have to buy back the property that you sold on the first day. And therefore, the two situations are not comparable. One point. The Ktsais takes a different point. The Ktsais says that when we speak about our Gemara, and he asks a fundamental question in an understanding of our Gemara, how do we look that when somebody buys a property in the Batei Erechaima, but the seller has a year to buy it back? Doesn't mean it doesn't become the buyer's until the year is up, or doesn't mean that it becomes the buyer's immediately. Just the seller, the Torah gives him the opportunity to buy it back for a year. So the Ktsai says that it's clear that halacha is that it becomes the buyer's immediately. So if it becomes the buyer immediately, just that the seller has a right to buy it back as long as he buys it back within the year, so then it's a whole different situation. It's not like he's given a right, and there's no difference whether he takes that option on the first day or he takes that option on the last day. And therefore, the halacha is it's very different. The Rebbe Kiveger and the Chasam Sofer also connect this discussion to a different case, to a different halacha. And that is, when we speak about oinus rachmana patrei, if somebody is an oinus, something happened that's beyond his control, the Torah exempts him from certain obligations. But oinus commanda ovid, to say that if something happened, but oinus, the halacha gives you credit, that is not necessarily the case. So they want to say that that would also be the nafkamina between the halacha of tefillah and the halacha of buying a home back on the last day. So Hillel made this rule. Amar Rava, so Rava says, "Matana kadasa shel Hillel," based on what we learned from Hillel, nishma, we could learn, as related to our sugya, that if a husband says to his wife, "Hareza gitecha mnasha titli misayim zuz," I'm giving you this get on the condition that you give me 200 zuz, and she gave it to him, and he knows and he accepted it, mugareshes. However, al karchoi, but if he gave it to him without him willingly accepting it, the halacha will be that ain't a mugareshes. Why? Because, explains Rava, we find in our Gemara that Hillel had to make a special rule, that we give the money against the buyer's will, that it's considered a nesina. So from here we see that here Hillel made a special rule that nesina b'karcha have nesina. Mechlal, isn't this clearly an indication that in all other situations, the nesina b'karcha, doing something is against the person's will, loy have a nesina? So that's why that would prove that if the wife gave the husband the money against his will, it would not be considered as if he received it. Maslur apopavitem rav sim rashi. The Dilma, maybe, who says that that's the way to understand Hillel? Maybe the way to understand Hillel is that Hillel will agree Nesina Bal Karcha is considered Nesina. I don't need his consent. So what was special about what Hillel instituted? Kitzrich Linskuni, what Hillel had to put into place is Shloim Afanov. Then not only do you not have to have his consent, but you could do it without him knowing about it. Like the Gemara said at the beginning of the shir, you could just throw it into the room. Album fun of, if you give the money directly to him, there the halacha will be, whether he agrees or doesn't agree, it could be having a sina. Ikadamri, but then there's a different version of this discussion. Amar Rava, but the kanasa shel Hillel, based on when we learned what Hillel's rule, we learned that if somebody says to his wife, I raise a gitech, I'm not sure tintling Messiah Zuz, this is you get in the condition you give me Messiah Zuz, but not like Beimadate Beimakarchai, and she gives him, she fulfills the stipulation, it gives it to him whether he's agreeable or not, having a sina. Why? He explains, because he says Hillel took it for granted that the sina Bakarchishma Nasina, that even if I don't have his consent, it's a valid Nasina. All that Hillel added was Shleibafanov, that giving him the money without him knowing even is considered acceptable. But if you give him the money, we don't need his consent. Hillel will hold the Bein Medatoi, Bein Bakarcha, whether he agrees or disagrees, have an Asina, it's considered an Asina. Ask the Gemara, Maskul Rapapa, ask Rapapa, Vitamer of Sim Varashi, Vidilma. Who says, as they ask, that that's the way to understand Hillel's opinion? Maybe the way to understand Hillel's opinion is that a feel before Nami, even if he's there to be considered a pidin on the sina, midate in, it has to be with his consent, bakar chaloi. So if that's the case, why did Hillel have to make the rule the bat shloi b'fonav? Because by the itzruch leitokin, Hillel saw the situation. He saw that, as we said at the beginning of the shir, the buyers would normally hide in order to avoid the person who sold the property. So that's why Hillel made up that the Nesina Bal Karcha is considered a Nesina. And not only did Hillel say that Nesina Bal Karcha is Nesina, even though normally it ought not to be the halacha, but he also said that I'm going to say that the Nesina Bal Karcha will be acceptable, and it will be even acceptable Shloi Bafanov. But who says that without Hillel, Nesina Bal Karcha would be a Nesina? So we just learned the halacha about Nesina Bal Karcha being a Nesina or not. And again, it's relevant in the case of the Batei Arachayim, we have Hillel's rule. And our Gemara regarding a get, the Gemara really did not resolve this question. The Gemara Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, discusses that somebody cannot force someone else to accept a gift against his will. So, if that's the case, ask Tosfos, if over there we see that you can't force somebody to take a gift if they don't want to, why can't that be a proof in our Gemara that you can't force the husband to take the money, even though if he doesn't take it, we won't have, the get won't be a good get. Says Tosfos, that when the husband makes a stipulation that the wife has to give him this sum of money, what is included in that stipulation is that he's going to be willing and obligated to accept the money when she gives it to him. And therefore, since that was included in the original stipulation, he no longer has the option to refuse the money. The Rashbah says that there's a difference between the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra and our Gemara. He says, one cannot force somebody to accept and acquire something against his will. But that doesn't mean that the act of giving is not considered a valid act of giving. What was the husband's stipulation? The husband's stipulation is that my wife has to give me 200 zuz. The giving is a giving whether he's agreeable or not. The acceptance he controls, but he doesn't control the giving. Taras Gittin explains, so if the Rashbah is saying that only the giving that the wife controls, we don't need the husband's consent, but nothing to do with the acceptance, So if the husband refuses to accept the money will be considered hefker, because the wife took the money and gave it to her husband. The fact that the husband did not legally acquire the money, so it's not his, but she fulfilled it. And therefore, it would be hefker. And if he doesn't want to take it and somebody else picks it up, it would be the person who picked it up. On the other hand, according to Tysus, since Tysus' explanation was that it was included in his original stipulation that he's going to accept it, as soon as the wife gives it to him, it becomes his, and it's not hefker, and certainly nobody could take it at that point. Another nafkamina between Tysus and the Rashba is when somebody swore to give his friend money, and his friend refuses to accept it. So according to Tysus, since the friend is under no obligation to accept the money, he cannot be forced to acquire it against his will, and it'll turn out that the person who made the shvuah has not fulfilled his obligation. According to the Rashba, yes, the person could choose not to take the money, but that has nothing to do with the person who made the shvuah and is prepared to do it and give the money that he made the shvuah. And he'll give it, and the other person won't take it. So here we're discussing the question about Nesina Bal Karcha, and what is the halacha, and we just quoted this machlokes Rishonim. The Tzois in Siman Resh Mem Gimel Sif Katan Dalet discusses, quotes the Pri Chadosh, discusses there was a village in which there was only one kohen, and somebody, Baruch Hashem, had a bechor, and he wanted to go to that kohen to do a pinyan aben. The kohen refused to take the money, and the question is, can he refuse it? Can he refuse it? So the Tzois says that there it's not a question of Nesina Bal Karcha. At first glance, we were connected to what we're discussing here, that it's a situation of Nesina Bal Karcha. Says the Tzois, it's not. Because when somebody has to give Matnas Kuna, somebody has to pay the coin, it's a Piroin Chayv. It's considered not paying off a debt. The discussion that we're having in our shir, says the Tzois, is not about something that I'm not obligated, it's not considered the payment of a loan. When we speak, however, says the Tzois, about the payment of a loan, there is no question that when we speak about a payment of a loan, a person cannot refuse to pay, to take back the loan that I owe him. However, the Nesivus is not so certain. He says, of course, if I owe somebody money, so all the discussion that we're having about Nesina Bal Karcha would not be applicable when we're talking about paying back a loan. But he says, when we're talking about paying the kohen, the matnas kahuna, it's a loan, it's an obligation, but I don't have to give it to any specific kohen. So it's not really similar to Purayin Chayv. However, on the other hand, that's when you can make that argument when there are a number of kohanim. So since there are a number of kohanim, this kohen doesn't have to be the one to accept it. But when there's only one kohen, so and I have the obligation of doing the pinyan ben, maybe even the sivus would agree with the tzais that the kohen has to take that money. So we learned in our Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel said a story that happened in Sidon, where somebody gave a get with the stipulation that it will only be valid if his wife gives him back the coat, his coat, and then that coat wasn't found. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said she could give him the cash value instead of the coat. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba B'Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kamakash Amar Shana Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Mishnah Seinu, wherever we find a Mishnah, the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Halacha Kamaisa, we follow his opinion. Chutz, besides for three cases. One is the case of Ariv, that if somebody borrowed money, and when he borrowed the money, he put up a guarantor, and the document says that you could go to me or you could go to the guarantor. So the Chacham hold, that's the case. The Malva could go to the guarantor, he doesn't have to go to the Loiva first. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you always have to go to the loiva first, and only if the loiva doesn't have the money, then can you go to the Arif. So the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is actually like the Chachamim, that you always go, that you don't have to go to the loiva first. The next case is our case of Tzaydin, where the husband says, I want the coat, and she doesn't have the coat, but she's willing to give the money. Rav Chaim hold, you have to give the coat. That was the stipulation, as we discussed in our previous year. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said, no. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that you have to give, that you have to give the money. That's the second case. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can give money, and the halacha is that you can't give money. And the third case is the case that we're learning in our, Gemara about the Ariv, Raya Chroina. If somebody has a case, and somebody says by that case that I'm going to, I have no more rayas, I have no more proof to my case. So the Chum hold that the case rests. And even if afterwards he says, I have new claims, new rayas, too late. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it's not too late, but the halacha is like Rabbanim. Tan Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, if somebody says to his wife, Harei Zagiteich, I'm giving you a get, V'naya Shali, but I'm going to keep the piece of paper. The halacha is, Einam Agreshus, they're not considered divorce. Because the Torah says, V'nosn B'yada, and the fact that he's holding on to the paper, that means he hasn't given her a get. But if he said to her, "I'm not sure tax really is a liar," if he said, "You're going to give me back the piece of paper," then the halach is harezim agreshes, that it's considered a valid get. So ask the Gemara, obviously, ma'ishna resha or ma'ishna seifa. What's the difference between the two cases? Why in the ratio is it not a good get, and the sefer is a good get? Says the Gemara, Amar of Chizda Hamani, who is the Tana here of Shimon Gamliel? We're going back to Apina of Shimon Gamliel, that said that if instead of giving the coat, you could give cash, Titan Lais Damel, Hachnami Efshin Tvasle Bedami. You could give her the value of the piece of paper, and like that, he will have fulfilled the obligation that he will gets back tax relief and nayer, and she will keep the get. Why, when you said I raise the get of a nayer shali and begreshes, is some rishonim explain because the Torah says v'nosn b'yada, you have to give us something substantive in the hand. This is not something in the hand. Others say that it lacks in the creases. If he still has the nayer. So the purpose of a get is to completely sever the relationship, and that isn't happening here. Mask of Abaya, ask Abaya, aim down Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if you don't have the coat, you could give cash instead. But ask the Gemara, when did Rav Shimon Gamliel say that? Aim down Rav Shimon Gamliel, hecha de leis sebeinei, where he doesn't have it. Hecha de sebeinei, but where he has it, me amad Rav Shimon Gamliel say that you could fulfill it. El Amar Abaya says, The Gemara, this is the case. The first place we find in the Torah about a Tanai, about a stipulation, is when the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven and Chatzis Shevet Menashe wanted to get their share in the Eiver Hanor. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, V'yom Moshe Aleihem, Im Yavu Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven Itchem, Asiyadim Chol Chalotzum Mechama, if you will go together with Klal Yisrael in battle, to capture Eretz Yisrael, Nosat Mechem as Eretz Agladi Lachuzo. However, Vim Lo Yavr Chalutz Metchem, Nox Mesochem Beretz Canaan, then you won't get it. Elam Abaya, Hamani, Remehi. The Tana of this Brisa that says, Amnach Shetachsu Lusinai Arim Agreshus, is Remehi, the Amabina Tanai Kofel. For Tanai to be considered a valid Tanai, you have to have the positive and the negative. For Hocho, Le Kofel Tanai, here, he did not double the Tanai, and therefore the halacha is the get, the stipulation could be completely ignored. So the Gemara is teaching us that Meir holds that if you don't have the Tanai Kofel, that means that he wasn't, the way I saw the Meiri explains, that shows that he wasn't serious about this stipulation. And since it shows he wasn't serious with the stipulation, so the stipulation can be ignored. Maskev L'Rova. So Rava now asks, on the way Abai explained the Braisa, what is the concern? Why can we ignore the Tanai? Tamed the Kafla Tanai, because he didn't go back and forth with the Tanai. Ha Kafla Tanai, had he done so, lo have a get thing. Then the get wouldn't be a good get. Ask the Gemara. As we said a moment ago, Michti, call Tanai Mehecha Gamin Allah. What is the source for Tanayim and for the halakas of Tanayim? God Mnei Ruvain. But if we look at that story, as we read the Psukim, Ma Hosom, Tanai Koinim Lamaisa. First, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im Yavru, if you'll go with Klai Yisrael. Vim Lo Yavru, if you won't go. All that was said before Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nasata Lahem. So that is the requirement, that only under those circumstances would a Tanai be considered a valid Tanai. Because we're learning from Tanai B'nai God and Kamei Ruvain. I've called Tanai, every Tanai, to be considered a valid Tanai. The Tanai has to be Koidon L'maisa. But in our case, Lefuka Hocho, the Maisa Koidon L'Tanai. First he said, I raise a Gitech. And then he said the Tanai. So what are you saying that it would be good? It would be a good Tanai. Had he expressed it properly. But Tanai Kofel, it's not true. Ela Merova, Shemaisa Koidon L'Tanai. Over here what happened was that the Maisa was before the Tanai, and since the Maisa, it had to be indeed that the Maisa before the Tanai. Otherwise, the Tanai would never be good, even if he did it. The Pasuk says, V'chal alakim b'yoy mashvi. And Rashi explains, Parshas Bereishis, Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha, Menucha came to the world, V'nishlam ha-malacha. And the Zohar explains that Yom Hashishi, Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition that the world will only exist if we keep Shabbos and we accept the Torah. So what happened here is, explains the Sefer Ponim Yofis, that because the Maisa, when the world wasn't considered created until Shabbos came, the Tanai on Yom Shishi is a good Tanai, because it would be a Tanai Koidon L'maisa. Masler of Ada Brahava. Tama, so we're saying that the reason this Tanai is considered a valid Tanai, because it was a Maisa Koidon L'Tanai. But ask the Gemara, Maisa Koidon L'Tanai. Or Tanai Koidon L'maisa, had it been the other way around, where it would be a Tanai, if the Tanai would have come before the Maisa, as we just learned, Lav Gita wouldn't be a valid Tanai. So ask the Gemara Michti, call Tanai Mecha Gimelin Allah, as we've been learning, what is the source for all Hilchos Tanoim? But Naim, they got him Neiruvin. Ma Hasam Tanai Bedov Echad and Masa Dov Echad. The Tanai was regarding them going to battle or not going to battle. And the Maisa was receiving a shear in the Eva Anor. Shouldn't we learn from the Afkol? That is always the case. Lefuke hocha, the Tanai u'maisa b'davar achar. The Tanai is on one thing, and the Maisa is on the same thing. It's all referring to the get. Elam ravada b'rahava, the reason that the get is fine is because this Tanai is not a good Tanai. Why is the Tanai not a good Tanai? Because as we just said, because it's a situation of Tanai u'maisa b'davar echad. Ravashi Amar, Rashi gives a different explanation on the Braisa. He says, Homani, who's the town of this Braisa, Rebbe? The Amr of Huna, Amr Rebbe, Kol Aim al Manas, Kaim Machshadami. Since he said, Hareza Gitech, when we spoke about this in our previous year, since he said, Hareza Gitech Ma'achshav, Amanas Shetachsalis and Nair, so as soon as he says Amanas, the get becomes, as that moment, a good get, and therefore, you have a fulfillment of a Nosn B'yada, and what happens afterwards is immaterial. Says the Gemara, asking Shmuel B'gita the Shchimra, we've been speaking often about a Shchimra who gives a get. So when a Shchimra gives a get, he should say, Im loimati lo yiget, v'mati a get. If I don't die, it should not be a get. And if I do die, it will be a get. And the point being that because we're learning that you need to have a Tanai Kafel, so because you need to have a Tanai Kafel, that's why Shmuel instituted that the Shchimera should say a Tanai Kafel. V'lema, says the Gemara, why did he say it in this order? Imloy Mati, if I don't die, if I do die, why don't we have him say, Imati, if I pass away, ye get, it will be get. Vloy Mati, if I don't pass away, lo ye get. Answers, the Gemara, the reason it wasn't said that way is because Loy Magdish Inish Peneroson Nafshi. A person shouldn't say something negative about himself first. Vlema, so ask the Gemara, so why doesn't he say? So he first say, Imloy Mati. So Loy Maloy ye get Imloy Mati. Why? Then Shmuel Institute that he should say lo ye get imloy mati, because don't we need binin? Answers the Gemara binin tanai koyin lemaisa. So we can't speak about the get before the tanai. We have to speak about the tanai before the get. Maskla Rava Michti kol tanai meicha gamrin aloy bnei God bnei Rovin ma hasum hein koyin lelav. As we read the pesukim, first Moshe Rabbeinu said him yavru, and then he said him lo yavru. Af kol, shouldn't that always be the case? Lafuk yehacha, that you have to have the laugh, that here, Shmuel's version has the laugh koidim lahein. And we, if we're learning from Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, should always have the positive before the negative. Oh, Amar Rava, what you're supposed to say is, oi mati lo ye get. And then say, mati ye get. And then you say, imloi mati lo ye get. And why did Shmuel say that you should do this? Imloi mati lo ye get. Because you always want to have you don't want to start with a negative. You don't want to start about saying imati if I pass away. Like magdim inish pronusul anafshe. Then you say imati yeget, and then maloi mati yeget, because as we learned, just like we learned from Tanai Bei Gud and Tanai Ruvain, that you always have to have the hain, that you have to have the kain koidim lalav. So here we're learning that you should always try to say something positive first, and you should also try to end with something. You should also, as we're learning here, also end with something good. So the question is, what is more important? To start with something good or not to end with something bad? It has relevant to a number of areas halacha. One where places halacha is regarding an aliyah. So what would be best is when we have an aliyah, when we talk about aliyahs, the person's aliyah should always end with something good, and the next person's aliyah should start with something good. But that isn't always positive. It isn't always possible. If that isn't always possible, the Paiskim say it's preferable to start with something good than to end with something bad. The other place where we find it is where the tefillahs on the Yom and the Royim, when we say in the Sanataika, we say Ezel Cherev Ve'ezel Shalom. So we're starting with the Cherev, which is the bad, and then we say the Shalom, which is the good. And the question is, maybe shouldn't we start with the positive? So why don't we say Ezel Shalom Ve'ezel Cherev? So from here we see that the ending is more important than the beginning. So there are different precedences what the halacha is. Says the Mishnah, Hareza Gitech Abnashit Tashamshis Abba. Somebody says, this is your get on the condition that you will take care of my father. Abnashit Tanikas Bani, that you will nurse my son. Kami Meniksa, how much does she have to do so to fulfill that obligation? Tanakam says, Shtei Shonim. It has to be two years. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim already, when we speak about this 2 years, how do we count the 2 years? Do we count 2 years from the day he's born? Is the 2 years exclusive the first day or not? What is going to be the halacha if there's in those 2 years there's a ibriyah, which a leap year, which has 30 months? Is it 24 months or is it 2 years? If you die Mishmen as a Chaydish, 18 months. Mesa Ben, what happens, says the Mishnah, if the father dies during this time, or the son dies during this time, so she can't be nursed anymore. Mesa Av, the father dies during this time, and he can't be taken care of. The halacha is that Hareza get, because she did what she could. Hareza get the Shanim. So it's very clear. Mesa Ben, and now the son passed away, Shama Avi Efshi. But the son, the father says, I don't want this woman, Shatim Sheni, to take care of me, Shloyak Bada, because not because she did anything wrong. I just don't want to be taken care of by this woman, ain't a get. Because since the stipulation was very clear that you have to have the nursing or the taking care for two, otherwise it doesn't work. Rashim Gamliel Aimer, Kizeget. It is a get. Klalam Rashim Gamliel, Kala Kovish Ein Amena. Because it wasn't her fault that we're not fulfilling the stipulation, the halacha is it's a good get. Ask the Gemara, or me being a kulahai, do we have to nurse for such a long time? For a mini, shimsh so yom echad, if she took care of the father one day, and nicked the yom echad, or she nursed the child even for one day, hareza get. And Taisha says it doesn't have to be even one day. It's even 1 hour is enough that it should be considered a valid get. Again, the Gemara connects this question to the machlokes that we've been reviewing between Rabban and Shimon Gamliel about the necessity of fulfilling the exact condition. Masnisin, says the Gemara, that says that you have to fulfill, follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And where the person wants the coat or the money. And I have to take care and give him what he wants. And therefore here too, I have to give him as much as the husband will benefit the 2 years. Vices, the Rabbanan, who aren't as strict. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain the Mishnah that the ratio of the Rabbanan, how can we say that the ratio of the Mishnah is Rav Shimon Gamliel, where Rav Shimon Gamliel is only introduced in the Sefer, as we just learned in the Mishnah. How about the Sefer of Shimon Gamliel? If Rav Shimon Gamliel is only introduced in the Sefer, isn't this clearly an indication, Mechlal, isn't that a raya, the ratio of Rav Shimon Gamliel? So the Gemara, we have to say just the opposite. Braisa, that says one day is enough, represents the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. What does it represent the opinion of Shimon Gamliel? Because just like in the case of the coat, Rav Shimon Gamliel says if you give the money instead of the coat, that will be acceptable. Here too, Rav Shimon Gamliel will say that nursing one day, serving the father one day is enough. The Rabbanon are stricter. The Rabbanon said if he says he wants the coat, you have to give him the coat and nothing else will do. The Rabbanon will say the same thing here. We explained that the Tanai was for a much longer period of time. Rava Maloy Kasha. The way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa can be stand. The Mishnah speaking about without saying a time frame. Can from a farish. He said one day. Ravashi says a different explanation. Kol bestam, whenever you don't say, nami kefarish yom echadami. That if he said one day, if he didn't say a time frame, we understand that he means one day. And therefore, even if he didn't say anything, we always explain that it means just one day. Of course, the question is, if Rav Ashi says that it always means one day, how will we understand the Mishnah? And Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to that in our coming Shia.